confess our sins so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, I thank you for this privilege you have given me under my spiritual parents to share the word even at this time. Lord, I do not take it for granted, but Lord, I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have my own knowledge to teach, to preach, or to minister. But ask for fresh mercies, fresh grace, Lord, to help to minister effectively as an oracle of God. That I speak your word this day, your word will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten by revelation knowledge from what that comes with, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the Spirit. Ask for grace in sufficient measure to redeem the time of the safe things that are necessary. As the word goes forth, yokes in lives are broken, needs are met. Glory go to the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings will come unto the sons of men. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and that which you will do in our midst today. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set you at my right and come and have your way. Come and minister to us that we'll all be edified and blessed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You must never take this privilege for granted. God has been faithful to us since the beginning of this year. Lord, and even up to this very moment, because there is a famine in the land, a famine of the word. But we can testify to the glory of God in this house through our spiritual parents. God has been feeding us, you know, has been keeping us from that spirit of Babylon. You know, was the Bible, I'm just talking before I go into the word today. You know, it was Bible, what's the man's name? Under Ahab. He said he hid them in the cave and he fed them, Obadiah. You know, while this wicked woman, a type of spirit of Babylon, was devouring God's prophets. Praise the Lord. So it's a privilege. I would not take it for granted. We are grateful, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much. So let's go straight into the word. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Last time we were in verse, we read, we stopped in verse 2. We only go through verses 1 and 2. Let's put it in the Amplified as we do a brief recap so we can redeem the time. It's self-explanatory. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let's all read together. Let all who are under the yoke as bond servants, just as slaves in those days, esteem their own personal masters worthy of what? Honor and fullest respect, so that the name of God and the teaching about him may not be brought into disrepute and blasphemed. The King James Version says that worthy of all honor. Say all honor. That is very important. Next verse. Let those who have believing masters not be disrespectful or scornful to them on the ground that they are what? Brothers in Christ. Rather, they should serve them all the better, because those who benefit by their kindly service are believers and beloved. Now it says, teach and urge these duties. It's very important. Last time we spoke extensively, we gave the example of David under Saul. You see, because at one point in time, you find yourself serving under a particular person. That's what God has ordained you. That's why you can learn different things. You see, in those days, they were slaves. And slaves did not have any right. But this thing, same principle, applies to us. And Paul was saying here, he says that it's talking about Christian servants who are either under Christian masters or non-Christian masters. And he begins to tell them how they should conduct themselves, how they should behave themselves under their masters, whether they are Christians or non-Christians. Because you can find yourself like Daniel was under Nebuchadnezzar. You can find yourself. This is not compulsory that you serve a Christian master. You can be under, but it's the same principles apply. And what he said is this. He said that we should count them. Let's say, count them worthy of what? All honor. Say all honor. Not some. All honor. Honor here, for what you've read, speaks about fullest respect. Let's say the fullest respect, reference, and high esteem. The last time we read from the book of Malachi, where God was talking, and he said that, if I'm a father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my fear? That God expects us to respect, to honor those that God has set in authority over us, either in our workplace or wherever you find yourself. Praise the Lord. Our Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says that we should give honor to whom honor is due. So honor is due to your master, whether he's a Christian or he's not a Christian. For one major or two main reasons, and Paul mentions it there, two main reasons. He says that one, reason number one is that the name of God, say the name of God, one, and the doctrine of God be not blasphemed. That means as a servant, or maybe you're under someone, your conduct, your character at work can bring disrepute to the name of God and affect the gospel that you claim to believe and preach. So God wants us to be very careful about how we behave ourselves under our masters, whether they are Christians or whether they are unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So at the name of God, be not blasphemed. So what you normally will think doesn't matter. God counts it. That means people are watching you. That means even you see your master, even if it's a Christian, he may not believe in things that you believe in, like perfection of love of God. But it's through your character, your conduct, your daily conduct at work that you can win him over. Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. So you can win them over with an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which inside of God is what? Great price. So I put it there. I say, the conduct of Christian servants can have a positive or negative effect to our Christian witness. And I said that God wants to win people, like I just said now, to Christ through our conduct as servants. I just give you an example as we move on. That lady that was under this leper in the Bible, Naaman. You see, she spoke to the wife of her boss and said that, would to God that my master can go to the prophet in Samaria. You see, but if our character, our conduct as a servant or a slave in those days was nothing to write to my boy, they would not listen to him. Switch him with Gehazi. They won't listen to him. Listen to her, rather. You see, this wonder, what do you know? Just keep quiet. But you see, at the end of the day, what she said literally led Gehazi to God in that context. Because notice, Naaman. Because Naaman ended up in Elisha. I went to Jordan to dip 7 times. He came out. And when he was cleansed, what happened? He said something to Elisha. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, read verse 3 and verse 17, just to explain this point about how our conduct as servants can win people to Christ, either to get born again or to believe in purpose and destiny, which is the perfection of the love of God. And she said unto her mistress, would to God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in where? Samaria. For I would what? Recover him of his leprosy. So you see that in spite of the fact that this lady was a servant, she had an understanding. She knew those that, you know, at the same time there were prophets of Baal. But she could separate. She knew, oh, these are the right people. And she had an understanding. Verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, and Naaman said, this was after Naaman was healed and everything, and cleansed of leprosy. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules of burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. So see the effect of this maid, this slave, to our conduct that he had on our master. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, this is why Paul says something. He said, I became a servant to all. Let's look at Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 9:19. 1 Corinthians, yes. So Paul was talking, say, for though I be free from all men, yet have I what? Made myself. Say, made myself. You have to make yourself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. That is the purpose. You must have the heart of a servant. I'm not necessarily talking about cleaning floors and running errands, but you see, the heart of a servant in this context is so that if that is what will win them to Christ, you have to become a servant. I follow me. You must be ready to become anything to win people over to Christ. That master said, if they slap you on the right, he said, turn the other cheek. Not because you are a fool, but because he wants to win them over. Say that I might gain the more. Praise the Lord. He also see the same thing in life of Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He said, he made himself of what? No reputation. I became a servant. Praise the Lord. Say, but made himself of no reputation. That is, he stripped himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And we know the story. And we know that's why we are all here today. So there is the principle here that I want us to go home with. Is that be ready to become anything to win people for Christ. Be ready to lay aside your title, either you're a pastor, you're a man of God, you are an angel, whatever. To win people over. That is the purpose. And that's what God is trying to, through Paul, trying to tell Timothy to explain to the church in Ephesus. So I put it there. However, we need to understand that the foundation of all Christian service is based on a consistent prayer life. You see, if you don't base all the things we're talking about, stripping yourselves, having the heart of a servant, it doesn't have the foundation of a spiritual, a solid and a consistent prayer life, you'll be end up being cumbered about with much serving at the expense of that which is needful. We do understand. Because you have people that are walking and walking and walking and walking, and yet they don't fulfill purpose and destiny. So everything you do in Christ must have that undergird of a consistent prayer life and a diligent walk in the Spirit. That is when you will know when to stop and when to move on. That is when you know how far to go. That's what restrains you, like Paul said. The love of Christ constrains us. It's as you perfect that love, that's how you literally serve in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 9 says that, Paul said, I thank my God whom I serve with my spirit, praying always for you. So that is how we basically serve in the kingdom. So we need to have that at the back of our mind. So it's not just walking and doing the physical aspect no alone. Or else you keep on doing it at the expense of purpose and destiny. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So the end verse 2 says that these things teach and exhort. Put back here. It says, these things teach and exhort. What things? Is he trying to say that everybody must become a servant in the natural? No. He's trying to, if you look behind what he's saying, he's talking about teach them about humility, submission, and godly character. That's what Paul is talking about here. So that godly character, they can see it in everything you do. So if you are a master, they will see it. If you are a servant, you will see it. So that he's trying to say, look, even though you are a master, you can win people over to Christ with a godly character. Same thing that 1 Peter says. They say that you can win them over with an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. We spent time the last time talking about different things, vices that we should avoid at work. Lateness to work, purloining, and all these things. They don't speak well. In fact, that is what people see and blaspheme our gospel and say things against what we believe. It's not saying what tongues. He's speaking in tongues, and yet he comes late to work. And he's speaking in tongues, and he's into this, into that, into this, into that. That should not be, that will not be a lot in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So he said, these things which you teach and exhort: humility, submission, godly character. Simply put, the perfection of the love of God. That's what Paul was trying to say from that those two verses. Now let's move to verse 3 today. Verse 3. So Paul begins to, he changes, he now begins to talk about those that preach otherwise. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So you see, now you can connect this to verse 2, that the doctrine he was talking about, that should not be blasphemed, is this doctrine according to godliness. Is that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed? So it's not just talking about the doctrine of baptism and others. He's talking about the composite doctrine, the doctrine of godliness. That is becoming like God. Are you following me? So that's what he says. Wholesome words said that of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4. We'll come back to it. He said he is proud, knowing nothing, but nothing about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. So Paul is saying that, let me summarize, if you don't put the perfection of the love of God, if you don't put becoming like Christ, being conformed to the image of Lord Christ, as your priority in what you teach, you are proud. You are teaching nothing. You know nothing. Because that is the whole purpose of Christianity. So if you don't put that, like Pastor will say, bring it to the front burner. The primary thing, you teach other things, but that is the main thing you emphasize for the people. He says you are proud, you know nothing, but you know, and strives, whereof cometh envy. So you can imagine what is going on in the body of Christ. There are a lot of pastors that know nothing. They preach motivational messages, but they know nothing. It's very important for us to know. That's why he didn't say teach them and exhort them on how to do miracles. Teach them and exhort them on the 7 steps to succeed. Teach them. No. He starts talking about humility. Submission. Are you following me? These are the key things that you will need. Character. The wine skin that will hold the wine. Strong men. The Bible says. So you will see as we continue today. He begins to talk about this man of God. You see, verse 3, it changes. It now says, if anybody, he said, if any man, starts talking about teachers that have erred in the faith, that don't major on character, that don't major on purpose, that don't major on the things that God crowns as priority. He says that they know nothing. To you, I see them on TV, you think they know a lot. They can quote scriptures. Bible says they are proud and they are going nowhere. Praise the Lord. So Paul begins to talk about people, those in leadership position in the church, that teach otherwise. And I said, to teach otherwise is to teach contrary to the Lord Jesus' teaching and the doctrine according to godliness. If you remember, as an historical account, when Paul was leaving Ephesus, he called them, Acts chapter 20, verse 29. And he says something, Acts 20, 29, just go briefly there. He says that, for I know, this is Paul talking, for I know this, that after my departing shall what? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Next verse. Also of your own self shall men arise. Say men arise. Speaking perverse things. To what? To draw away disciples after them. Later on we'll see. He said that perverse disputings of men. So Paul had warned them earlier that this thing is going to happen. But be very careful. And we also need to be very careful. Praise the Lord. So what are these things? How, if you look, notice the master, he majored on certain things. Matthew chapter 11 verse 20. He says, learn of me. He said, if you want to learn something, learn this from me. For I'm meek and I'm what? Lowly in heart. I shall find rest unto your soul. You have to learn meekness. You have to learn lowliness of heart. Are you following me? That is what he says. You learn of him. You learn other things, but the primary thing you need to learn is this thing, meekness and lowliness of heart. And on the question of servant, look at Luke chapter 16 verse 12. When he was talking about servants. This thing is very real in the body of Christ today. People go and work based on what they can get. Nobody wants to serve again. They want to use anything they do as a stepping stone to fulfill their dream. Whereas, you see, for you to get the fullness of your dream, that dream has to die. Go and write it down. The master himself said, accept the corner of will, your dream. Force it to God and die. Tell your neighbor, your dream has to first of all die. Before God can raise it up. If it does not die, you will keep on fueling it and finding different ways to fulfill it. I will not be God. At the end of the day, you always have a chip on your shoulder that God told me I'll become this. He has to die. Oh. If it's a dream from God, that is the route. Resurrection life has to raise it up. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 16 verse 12 says, Luke chapter 16 verse 12, and if you, born again Christian, have not been what? Faithful in that which is another man's. Who? Say who? Will give you that which is your own. First thing you notice, God has destined for you your own. But God said the route which you get your own is you are faithful in other man's. If you refuse to be faithful in other man's, you will not get your own. If you get it, Babylon will give it to you. And it can't last long. It can't last long. You know why? Because it's what you sow when you're under somebody's ministry or war work that you will reap. If you're unfaithful, unfaithful brethren will come and join you when you set up your own business. If you're unfaithful in that which another man's and you end up getting so-called your own, that unfaithfulness will bring a harvest of unfaithful people. They will come late to work. They will lie. They will cheat. They will do all kinds of... You see, I've observed this a long time ago and I've always thanked God for this house. How God has blessed our parents with faithful brethren. Yes. But see, the key to that is God. They have been faithful to God and to other man's. Learn that secret. There is no other way. If you are unfaithful to another man, God, this pastor said, who will give you your own? I don't want to go into that. Look at life of Jacob. He had to learn to be faithful to a wicked boss. It was when he was faithful that God gave him his dream. And God answered, okay, move. It's time for you to move. And he spent 20 years of his wages being deducted every year. So if you're under whatever government and they're not paying your salaries, you just be faithful. Don't say because of that you go and do something that is wrong. Don't put seeds into the ground that will affect you when you start your own in the future. Don't. It's a principle. Say whatever a man sows, he will reap. Not because they did something wrong to me. No. It does not justify you to do what is wrong. Leave them to God. They will meet God there like we normally say. Praise the Lord. So let's move on to verse 4. I said to teach otherwise is to teach rebellion. When When you don't teach servants to be faithful, what are you teaching them? Rebellion. All these motivational teachings that don't talk about faithfulness. I don't want to be distracted. It's so common in the body of Christ today. You see Christians serving in a place, all they are thinking about, you know, especially when the chips are down, when the company is facing difficult times, they will not stay. They will be the first to join off the boat. Like those guys were going to Rome with Paul. Said they were going to escape under color. Because they were not there with the right motive. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. So they are not ready to stand with their boss. It could be boss, it could be pastor. And God allows those things to come. So that you can separate the tares from the wheat. But some Christians don't see that. Maybe God is telling me to move on and do my own. Terrible mistake. Now, this may not always apply. But you see, understand the principle here. The principle is be faithful wherever you are as a servant. And as you continue, God will ultimately give you your own. The Bible says, no man that I left father, mother, and houses for myself, for my kingdom, for the kingdom's sake, whatever sake. He said, he shall in this lifetime receive 100-fold with persecutions. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. So Paul now begins to describe these teachers in the body of Christ. I said, he's proud, knowing nothing, but talking about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, malice, evil surmises. Verse, keep, next verse 5. Says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Say corrupt minds. And destitute. Say destitute of the truth. Supposing. That gain is what? Godliness. And from such, withdraw yourself. You have no business going to a church where they think that gain is godliness. You have no business staying under anybody that all he has to do is preach about prosperity, omitting the conditions. It's all about the body of Christ today. It's all about the TV. So. People giving stupid testimonies. They will come and give testimonies and they will not tell you the root cause of how the money came. A friend of mine just came recently. He was telling me, I was sharing some things with me. He said that, I won't mention the place. He said that I go and work for some people, a Christian organization. And he did a contract for them. And he told me, he said, do you believe that the pastors of the senior pastor were threatening him that he should pad the money? Yes. I won't mention the place. He said they couldn't believe it. He said, if you don't do it, we will kill you. These are born again pastors, Pentecostal church. They said they threatened to kill him. He said he just left it and ran away. He said because he has seen examples of people that they threatened and they killed. Yes. He said he left it. He said you see them, they carry this sacrifice. Ebo. Unbelievable. God forbid, it will never happen in this place. Can you imagine you come to church? And you see somebody put something there. By a Christian. Supposedly born again Christian. It's happened to the body of Christ. That is why there has to be a serious house cleansing. Judgment must begin in the house of God. You know why? Because these people have made the heathen to blaspheme the name of God. That's why it is difficult for you and I to preach that perfection is possible. Because it restrains them. Because they see us together as one. So you know why? So God has to do something about it. The Bible says, when God does something, you see, it's not when you talk about it, don't begin to shake on your seat. He says, then you begin to discern. They can't discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the servant God and the servant. Now, the world thinks that those that are serving God are those that have money. How the people think this? Because they know, supposing that gain is godliness. Say, from such, withdraw. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. As we'll see later on, it's going to lead to deception, destruction of the flesh, and then ultimately, partition. That's the end, though. Let's move on a step at a time. Corrupt minds. What do you mean by corrupt mind? Mind to the badger, to the gera. That's the best way I can say it. A corrupt mind is a mind that is alienated from the life of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Say perverse, corrupt minds, destitute of wisdom. Let's read together. Having the understanding speaks about the mind. Say corrupt mind. Darkened, being alienated from what? The life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So a corrupt mind is a mind that is void of sufficient amount of the life of God. Not light. So he begins to twist the scriptures. He will read the scripture like the love of money is the root of all evil. He will skip that aspect of the love. Corrupt minds. That's a corrupt mind for you. There are many in the body of Christ today. Their minds are corrupt. They can preach prosperity from any scripture in the Bible. And they will omit the greater matter of law. Then the second aspect says destitute of truth. Say destitute of the truth. It's destitute of the truth. Truth generally speaks about the word of God. John chapter 17:17 says, thy word is truth, O Lord. But it says the truth. What truth is Paul talking about here? Link it to what he's been talking about. Open your Bible, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He mentioned it earlier. It says, 2:4, say, let's together. Who will have all men to be saved? So, God wants everybody to be saved. All men, and what? After you are saved, and all men to come unto knowledge of the truth. So, we don't just stop at all men being saved. Move on to all men coming to the knowledge of the truth, which is coming, becoming conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Men have preached that all men should be saved. They have branches everywhere. But see, they have not moved. They themselves, they have just tabernacled there. They have not moved on to knowledge of truth. What is knowledge of the truth? You know, we are talking about preachers that misbehave. To summarize. Open to Ephesians chapter 4, which from verse 11 to 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because he was talking to Timothy about teachers that preach otherwise. I don't talk about character. That don't prioritize character. We're not saying don't preach about prosperity, but you don't prioritize it. You don't make it your major gospel. The spirit behind it, the spirit of Antichrist. Prosperity Antichrist. The pastor was teaching us some weeks, months ago. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Four, next verse. For the what? Perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Next verse. Till, that means there's a process. We all, say all, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That we answer be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they learn way to see. Those that teach otherwise. Now the next verse explains what I'm trying to say. But what? Speaking the truth in love. What love? What truth? That we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. So that is what Paul is trying to say, or the Spirit of God is trying to say. That look, their minds are darkened because they have been alienated from the life of God. They have rejected the knowledge of the word of God that says that grace and peace be multiplied unto you. To knowledge of him, that you may partake of divine nature, of having escaped. So they refuse to escape because they have not learned to. You know, they don't have life of God. They have a bit. But it's not sufficient. The light is supposed to overcome the darkness, but the light is not sufficient. So they have corrupt minds. Are you following me? That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So it says that supposing that gain is godliness. Amplify, verse 5. He says that who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit? Can you see? He says, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit? A what? Money making business, a means of livelihood. From such withdraw. Those that all they preach about, when you look at their message, you listen to their message, is man centered, need oriented, entertainment based, is how you can get more. It says that withdraw. Don't go there. It's very dangerous to go there in the hour we are living in. That is why in book of Revelation says, come out from among them and be separate so I don't partake of their judgment. You see, their judgment has lingered for a while, but as surely as the sun will rise tomorrow, it's going to come. Understand that about God. Don't say that we've been hearing this thing for so long, nothing has happened, that you are joking. You don't understand God. God, if God says something, he has the power, he will not say what he will not do. So if he said, I'm going to do it, he's going to do it. But always understand that when God declares something, the reason why it seems to tarry so long is to give people room to repent. And then after repenting, enough room for them to practice and practice. So you can be part of, you can be on the Lord's side. Because no one or any should perish. But don't take that for granted. And say, they've been preaching this thing to us, pastor, since I was born. And now I'm walking here, this, nothing has happened. It will never happen. You have just missed God big time. Will not miss God in Jesus' name. So I said, because why would you withdraw from such people? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says that because evil communications will corrupt good manners. Amplified. Amplified. Just read it. One more verse. It says, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. It will affect you. You know why? Just in the natural. Whatever you eat affects you. If you eat something that is not good, it will affect your tummy. It will purge you. So if you go to where they are ministering nonsense, they are teaching otherwise, and you begin to feed under that ministry, it's going to, that Bible says that when you see people, I say, put a knife to your throat. He said, if you are a man given to appetite, he said, because he said, eat. I can't remember somewhere in Proverbs. He said, as a man, so see, if you it's understanding natural, his heart is not with him. His heart is in your wallet. What is going to get from you? So you see, in the same way, when you eat the wrong thing in the natural, it affects your growth. It can even kill you. Food poisoning. There is spiritual food poisoning going on in the body of Christ. And has set many to destruction. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, verse number 6. 6. 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but godliness. It says, but what? Godliness with what? Contentment is great. Let's say together. Godliness with contentment is great gain. God has promised us great gain. I want to say that before I begin to talk. Because if you are really listening again, if you don't think properly, you think that maybe God does not want you to be rich. No. He has only put conditions there. That is, there must be godliness, say godliness, with contentment before great gain. You don't have great gain and then contentment and godliness. No. You start with godliness, then contentment comes in, then great gain. The Bible says that, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says that, you know the grace of the Lord Christ, that though we are rich, it was made for that we through his poverty might become rich. So God wants us to be rich. We are not talking about needs that have been met. God wants us to be rich. But there is a process. Are you following me? There is a process that we must undergo. And that process is godliness, contentment, before we can get green. Now let's take it a step at a time. Help me, Holy Spirit. What is godliness? Pastor has taught on this before, of godliness, contentment, and gain. You know, I think in 2013, so I'll just do a brief recap of what he shared. So what is godliness? Godliness is becoming like God in nature, character, and ability. Let's get it. Godliness is becoming like God, firstly in nature, in character, and ability. Ability speaks about wisdom and power. God-likeness. Are you following me? That is what godliness is. And every child of God has the nature of God in his spirit. But that nature must now flow and develop in the soul, into his body. I follow him and begin to control what he does. I follow him. So I said, my legion of men are traveling, but until Christ be formed in you. I follow him. So that is the route we have to take. And it's very important for us to know that what is contentment. Pastor defined it as this. It is an inner satisfaction. Let's go. It is an inner satisfaction in our soul that comes from the power of the fruit of the spirit. Basically, peace, joy, long suffering and patience, irrespective of our present physical and material circumstances. That is contentment. That is, you're not fretting because you could not get a suit for Christmas. You better thank God that you have something to wear. Maybe you should go to the burn unit in USUCH and see those that are being treated for third degree burns that they can't put anything on them. They know how to thank God that God has been faithful. You don't fret because your car didn't start this morning. I had to take a bike to church. I said, what kind of God is this? I've been serving all these years. Those are attitudes that creep. It's Satan. It begins to point the things you don't have to you. I've been to cover your face from seeing what God has done. Wealth is what money cannot buy. You can't buy healing. You can't buy protection. You can't buy those things. We need to be grateful to God. You are rich. Don't look at riches in time of only money alone. That is just a subset. That's just a small part of it. Because you have cash in the bank and you are sick. Or armed robbers are disturbing you night and day. You can't enjoy it. And the Bible says he giveth us all things richly to enjoy. What is the use of having riches that you cannot enjoy? We need to be grateful to God. Well, that is contentment. It that we say in Yoruba, that's contentment. That is, I read again, it is an inner satisfaction in the soul. You are not agitated. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit. Put peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, irrespective of your present physical and material circumstances. So that, for example, if they come today and take everything you have, like Job, say, even though he slay me, yet will I serve him. If they take something and it affects your relationship with God, then there's still a problem. Bible says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. So it already shows you where your heart is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. 4:11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 4:11. Are we there? This is what Paul said. Say, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Next verse. That is contentment defined by the Apostle Paul. He knew all the same principles that these guys were preaching about, but he never abused it. Can you imagine when he raised that guy from the dead? When he was going to that guy that slept and fell down, he could have stopped the service and said, okay, I believe God wants to give an offering to the man of God. But he did not. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am what? Instructed. I am what? Instructed. Who instructed him? The Holy Spirit. Both to be full and to be hungry. So there are times that you'll be hungry. But to abound and to what? Suffer need. There are times you are bound, and there are times you suffer need. That's why you remember what he said. He said, I have become a servant to all. There are times that maybe you go to the village, you go and minister, and they will give you something you're not used to eating. Maybe pap. You will take it. You have to abide a base so you can win more to Christ. Next verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That shows you that to abase or to abound can only be due to the power of Christ. That is what keeps you from misbehaving. Either when you are abounding, like Solomon did, or when you are allowed to abase, you don't start complaining and murmuring and say, what kind of God is this, for God's sake? That is where that scripture will quote. It's a previous thing, but that is where Paul quoted it. That, so let us apply, first of all, to abasing and abounding. Praise the Lord. Very, very important to understand that. That's why the psalmist says, Psalm 17, he said that, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied when I weaken. The only thing that can satisfy the human soul is when you become like him. You will not want anything. God just be giving it to you. Like Esther. Say, what do you want? Say, I don't want anything. Say, I just went just as I am. I read a man of God recently said I was just worshiping God and fellowshipping, and the father came and spoke to him and said, what do you want from me? He said, God, I don't want anything. I just want to spend time with you. And said the father told him that, you don't know how this had made my day, kind of, I'm paraphrasing. Because many of his children will worship him because of what they can get. Which is not wrong. But see, God is looking for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Those that would just desire to fellowship. Who want to know what is in his heart. God, what do you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do? That will wait on me, wait on him. Like waiters wait on people in the restaurant. Are you following me? So God wants that. And where was I? Okay. So I said it, I just read. It is crucial to learn by practicing contentment, because a lack of contentment will lead to covetousness. You see, if you don't learn or practice contentment at every point in time, it's going to ultimately lead you to covetousness. Greed. What is covetousness? A desire of having more material and financial possession than your present level of godly character can handle. That is, at this present moment, all God has given you, and at times it's dynamic, is just this amount, maybe for Christmas. So manage it. Don't be angry. And if you feel that God, no, then a contract comes your way. You twist it so that you can do what others are doing. You can have more. You see, that's why it leads to covetousness. So the only thing is learn godliness with contentment, which is only done by Christ that strengthens you. So in that time of lack or need, that Christ keeps you. I follow me from getting angry, or when there is too much for you to handle or so much. It's that same Christ that keeps you. Don't start misbehaving all over the place that many people do today. Praise the Lord. So that is that. And when this begins to happen, it opens the door to demonic empowerment to get wealth. And like I mentioned, like it leads to deception, destruction, and perdition. I have the example of Balaam. Balaam was not content with what God had given him. So when they offered him, he began to try to twist the word of God. So I can get, he said, I will give you honor. I will give you money. You know that story, Balaam and Balak. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. The Bible says, the eyes that cannot cease from sin. So I put there, say, well, that God does not approve of, because godly character has not yet been sufficiently developed. So anything you have that God does not approve of is what we are talking about. That is, you got it outside the will of God due to the present level of your spiritual growth and development. Now, people ask me this question: what about people that are walking here, and by just me, or just by the fact of where they were walking, they have so much? I've been paid salary. Then it's easy now. Then let the person obey the instructions of the Father. It's so simple. People always come and ask me, but Pastor Joey, how come these people, this person, is this, but look at what he has. They are looking at it in terms of financial prosperity. He has this, he has this. There's no problem. But he has to be under authority. I follow obeying the instructions of those under authority. That is what will now make him so will not go astray. Can you imagine if David was alive? Could Solomon have done what he did? There's this king in the Bible, I think I can't remember his name, under Jehoiada. When Jehoiada was over him, he married for him. The Bible says he behaved himself. But the moment Jehoiada died, he misbehaved. What are we saying? Strong men retain riches. So when you have riches that is more than you can handle, stay under a Jehoiada. Right attitude. So the prayers you are praying will begin to keep your flesh under. So don't wake up tomorrow and say, because my friends are buying this, I have to go and buy it. Just by the virtue of the fact that you have a good job. So God has balanced everything. So you stay under until you grow, and you are able to handle it. Or else you are part of those that think that gain is godliness. That's why you find many people don't come to pray when they start making it. Why do I have to come for all night? Why do I have to pray? It's not necessary. Last scriptures, call. Last scriptures, name. It's not like that, too. Some people have to stand in Jordan for you to pass. If they did not stand in Jordan, you will not cross over. Not enter the promised land. The priests have to stand in Jordan. And they stood still until everybody passed. Now, the fact that you step into the promised land before the priests does not mean that you are better. Don't make that mistake. They have to stand there. In fact, Joshua did not cross on Deborah's cross. That's a good leader. They stand or you are crossover. Why did you cross Jordan without the priest? Say, he drowns men in perdition. You're going to get me later. Let me move on very fast. That just came off the cuff. So what are we saying? Help me. Okay, that is contentment. So what is great gain? Great gain is great increase in material and financial resources. So I said it already. God wants us to have great gain. Say, God wants us to have great gain. I follow me? But with godliness and contentment as a foundation. So if you are not godly enough, or you are practicing, you are still on the way, and you are not yet strong. And by virtue of God's sovereignty, it just pushes you across Jordan. Then, when you cross over to Jordan, wait for the priests and Joshua to cross over, and then you move on with them. You know why? They are the ones that will divide the land, though. So don't fall into the snare of Achan. Let's move on. Everybody seems to be quiet. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Great gain will come from God through, Pastor said, in great spiritual growth. That's how you get great gain. No other way. Why? Because perhaps the great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So when you attain to that, God manifests in your flesh.
then you have great gain. See, what we are talking about, nobody has really experienced this. So it's difficult to even describe. The best you can use is Bill Gates and all this. It's not even near what God is talking about. So it's difficult for us to imagine. Let's just accept it by faith that it is so because God said it. Praise the Lord. As I begin to round up, help me, Holy Spirit. Verse 7. I need to touch on this. Say, for we brought nothing to this world. And it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. Say, it is certain. It is certain that you carry nothing out. If you put this on your door, either inside or outside, each time you go out and you meditate on it, it will help you to behave properly. You're not taking anything away. The only thing she's talking about, material and financial possessions. The only thing you're going to take away is the measure of the life of God and the character of God that will determine your destiny. We need to begin to talk about eternity. You need to begin to talk about, remind yourself that all this, you know, when I was meditating, God told me something, like they say, God, the thought came to me about Paul at the end of his life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have run the race. He said, now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, how did he get the crown? Is it because at the end of his life he was living in a house that he hired himself? Is it because he had money? I'm not saying we shouldn't have money. But recognize that those things are for a purpose in this lifetime. So don't make them your end. He did not get a crown of righteousness because he used the principle of faith to make money like they do. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, it's a fight. He said, I've run, finished my course. You know, I said, he has the crown of righteousness laid up for me that God will give to me. Not only me, say the righteous judge. Say the righteous judge. I will give to everybody that loves his appearing godliness. That's how you get it to know that way. You can't bribe God. God has a rich wrongdoer. That's the truth. Your soul shall be required of you. Say, who? Talomani, Bugwe. Talomani. Who? All the things you have gathered together. That will be a lot in Jesus. Kind of Jesus. Verse 8. Say, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. That is, once you have food and you have raiment, say that you'll be content. I follow me. That is what that is. That is saying that God is going to make sure that you have food and raiment in any circumstance. And now you may not eat tantalizers or whatever. Or whatever, caviar with champagne or whatever the champagne. I follow me. But you say, as far as food is concerned, and raiment, let me put it this way, God will make sure you have daily manna. Even though it may not taste like garlic and cucumber, but it will sustain you to move from that place of abasement to abundance. That's why you see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, why are you worrying about this thing? So this is Gentiles seek after. He says, seek first the kingdom and all that things will added unto you. So that God, that's what God says. Don't worry. You have food and raiment. Don't worry. While you are practicing to be more godly, learn contentment before great gate comes. You see, verse 9 says that this is not what the problem is. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. I have to stop. Temptation and a snare. That is, if you make up your mind that I'm going to be rich without godliness and contentment, we are going to fall into temptation and a snare. And many hurtful laws which drown men in destruction and perdition. I'm going to stop now. Proverbs 28, verse 20. 20, verse 20 on the double. It says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings, godliness. I follow me. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You start making decisions based on what you can gain instead of purpose and destiny. You know that this is what God wants you to do. You say, no. If I do this, how am I going to be able to build a house, have children, send my children to school, send them abroad? No. I have to go. You between you and God, you know. Many do it. And then they will get it, but they don't spend it. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So it affects our decision making. Proverbs chapter 1. Help me, Lord Jesus. I need to. 1 verse 10. Talking about this same thing. Says that 1:10. Say, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Move to verse 19. I don't want to just 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Verse 32. Why? 32. says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. A fool is someone that is alienated from the life of God. Praise the Lord. See, drown men, foolish hearts. I point out something. I want to stop in verse 10 because that's how we read. See, Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. It says that drowns men in perdition. Who is going to perdition? The beast on which Babylon is riding. Can you see? It says that the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So it says that this thing, this prosperity antichrist, it starts with deception. It deceives you to think that you are godly, that your faith is working. Then the next thing like this, it will ensnare you through covetousness. Are you following me? Then it's going to lead to, because it's Babylon, the spirit that is behind it. So if we don't stop it ahead of time, that is the end. Because that beast you saw was carrying Babylon. That's why I said the souls of men. Let's bow down to prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. If you are hurt in any area, let's just ask God for forgiveness. Either you've been discontent about your present circumstances, the secret is go back to the place of prayer. Let Christ strengthen you in that time which you are abased. And if you have abundance and you are feeling puffed up by what you have, then let Christ strengthen you to bring your soul down. It has to do with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. I will have no other gods but you alone.
I will bow to no other God but you, the living God. I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made, and I give you your place, O Lord.
I give myself as an offering.
Lord, as you talk to God quietly, just a thought that came to my heart. Next year has been declared, from now to next year, as a year in which God will make room for us. We are trusting to make room for us. That's our purpose and our destiny. But you see, for Him to make room for you, I remind of the story of the prophets. He said, this place is too straight for us. But before He can make room, you have to go to Jordan, the place of death, which Pastor has been talking about towards the end of this year. Dying to self daily, then you cannot make room for yours. Praise the Lord. Praise the Father. Let's put one on the heart and raise the other on the table. Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. We receive your life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. We receive your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what that has come to me today, reminding me about godliness, contentment, and great grain. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because I know that you want me to have great grain, but with godliness and contentment as a solid foundation. I come to receive your mercy. I come to receive your grace afresh. To daily use your blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God in my life, so that as I go to this coming year, 2019, you will make room for me in every area of my life. As I set my hands on to do, as I make room for you through the prosperity of my soul.
Let's not pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.